gamers, and welcome to episode 452 of the Super Ultra Podcast Arcade for April 13th, 2024. I'm going to be your host, Daniel Nicholson, and with me is my co-host, Dominic Stallworth. What's going on this week, Dominic?
So we're back. We took off a week because it wasn't a lot of news happening. So now we're back, whereas some things have been going on now recently. And it's been a sad week, man. We had one of the best running backs in the NFL has passed away. O.J. Simpson, the first guy to go over 2,000 yards.
Oh, man. I loved him in the Naked Gun movies.
Yes, he was good on and off the field, man. I mean, like, he did Oscar-worthy performances in the Naked Gun. And then he disappeared for a while.
Yeah, weird.
I don't know. I didn't hear about him until recently when he passed away. I was like, darn. I said he just went quiet for a long time. But I know. I'm guessing that there will be a moment of silence when the NFL starts the games. There will be a moment of silence for his passing. I'm sure that's going to happen. But come on. He's the first guy to go 2,000 yards. Why wouldn't you?
I mean,
that's history right there.
They definitely did do that episode of Raw for Chris Benoit. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's just their standards, you know. Chris Benoit. I mean, come on. I mean, just we know why. I mean, we just know why. Oh well, but he had cancer, which I didn't even know he had cancer. Honestly,
yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah. So I was like, oh man, yeah, because I saw OJ trending. I was just thinking like, oh, he must have said something, and then I was like, oh. He passed away. So, oh, okay. And I did not look anymore in comments about OJ or anything. Because I was like, I don't need to. I've seen enough about OJ. it had to come to me. Like, if this was on my timeline, someone said something, then I'll look. But I wasn't, like, going to look for it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see what he died from. And I heard he had cancer. And I was like, oh, okay. But, yeah. I mean, that was a big moment in history, man. I mean, that was like a big, very moment, man, back in the day of that trial, man. That freaking long-ass trial. I mean, that was crazy how every time around 5-ish or something when they had those news programs, like between like 6 and 8, they had like Hard Copy and all that stuff we used to be on, Entertainment Tonight, OJ. Yeah. It's all about the OJ trial. Uh-huh. Every time I used to see that as a kid. Our parents had TV on. I mean, that was just every day. I used to think that's how trials were. I used to think, like, oh, trials take forever. But yeah, that was crazy. All right. So moving on to actual, like, current sports news. Like, Oregon's been doing pretty all right. Me and Dory got blown out as of this podcast last night. But other than that, they've been doing great. They swept Boston.
Yeah.
They didn't used to lose 2 out of 3 against the Pittsburgh, but they were the pitching. I mean, what I was happy about was the pitching. Like, they kept them in the game. They still had a chance to win. The bats was just quiet. Like, and Pittsburgh's, they've been pretty good this year, so I'm not that too mad. And Boston actually started out pretty good because this is their home opener because they started out with their first 10 games away. And they were 7-3. It was like, that's pretty good. You start off 7-3 away, and you didn't even get to be home yet. But then we kind of ruined it for them because we swept them in their home opener. So I was like, oh, that's pretty bad. But, things are really coming along. They did bring up the rookie Jackson Holiday, which everybody's been waiting for. But he still has, as of this podcast, he still hasn't gotten a hit.
Oh,
people
wow.
are just waiting for that to happen. But yeah, I've been enjoying the season so far. I mean, besides last night when it got blown up, but hey, I mean, you know what's coming.
Yeah.
And it's so funny how with Twitter, like, I think people need to understand what about Twitter, especially people who are like, why are people getting on? Like, some people's like, these people are just attacking, like, people, like, saying, like, oh, this guy sucks now. Even though it's been good for a while, like, because they hasn't got a hit, like Hayes. Hayes hasn't been known well so far. For a while now, Mullins hasn't been doing as good as some people want. Or like when a team loses, they so reactionary, like, oh, this sucks and stuff like that. it's like a long season, but like for the people who are upset with those people being reactionary, that's what Twitter is. Twitter is very the moment thing, and you gotta know that's a small population. That is not the overall, you know. Yeah. You're just seeing people on Twitter, and that's what Twitter's for. Twitter's for a reaction, an immediate reaction of something that happens. And people, that's what they do. They over-exaggerate on that. So you don't take that seriously, and don't take it as a, oh, this is what the public is thinking. No, the public is what it is. Like those baseball fans, they're going to come. They know that it's a long season. They know every game is not going to be a damn win. It's baseball. Look, like we had about 101 wins. I forget. That means you had like 60 something losses, 62 losses,
right?
At least if you had 100 wins. So. That's just what it is. And like for people being upset with Hayes saying like, oh, they need to get rid of him. I don't know. See, for me, it's like this man's been good for a while and he's just struggling. Maybe he needs to go back to the minors just to get stuff together. I don't know. Honestly, I mean, I don't know enough baseball to even say that, though. That's the thing. I don't know enough about the, I mean, it's funny how the older I get, like, I'm not reactionary as I used to be. Like, I would be very, if I was younger, I would be like, get this bum out of here or something like that. like we got to move on. But now I'm older, it's like, you know what? I have no idea. Listen, I don't know much about the sport, so I don't know if, like, is it better for him to keep him up here, to keep trying? Or should you just move on right away? I mean, I kind of don't think you should move on away because, I mean, he was good. I mean, he was good last year. I mean, he didn't do well the second half of last year. And, I mean, I guess maybe you could say, like, oh, he started doing good. But he wasn't doing this bad. Even the second half of last year, he wasn't doing this bad. Maybe he just got to get it. He'll get it going. Maybe it'll come. I don't know. But right now, the season's looking pretty good. Oh, they, with the Major League, with all the Major League Baseball, I know some pitchers are hurt. Some key pitchers in place. I know Strider for the Atlanta, who won Cy Young last year. He's hurt. He's out for the year. And then people are talking about like all these pitchers getting hurt. Some people are blaming. I think that some players are blaming the clock, saying that equates to that. Though I think that's bullshit. I think that's just because you just don't like the pitching clock, and because pitchers were getting hurt before. I mean, I remember all my life, all I heard about was Tommy John surgery all the time.
Right.
I mean, that was the first I ever heard of Tommy John surgery. I mean, like I just felt like it's almost to a point where I felt like somebody should just get, hey, you going to major leagues? Get Tommy John surgery first before you go in, and then so you can get that out of the way.
Get your arm reinforced.
Yeah. So I'm like, that's bullshit. And then, like, pitchers are throwing harder than ever before now. Like, you got people, like, you're used to seeing a 100-mile-per-hour ball with the closers or the guys who pitch for, like, one inning. Now you're seeing some of these guys, they better do it, throw the ball hard for, like, five innings. But that also, no human is made to do that. So you're not made to throw the ball. You're not made to throw things overhand, honestly. And to throw it that hard overhand?
Yeah.
You definitely ain't, your arm's not made for that. So you're going to get injured more. It's not because of the damn pitch clock. I can tell you, that's not it. Because people were getting hurt before that. And there's even evidence of a pitcher even talking about that, like, before the pitch clock even happened. So it's like, yeah, that's just you not liking the pitch clock. That's bullshit. And plus, it hasn't been enough time. It hasn't been enough time for that to be a statistic. Like, it's only been a year since we used the pitch clock in a month. So you can't. How do you, you can't label that right now, like, as that's the problem. But anyway, moving on. Other sports, it's basketball is almost over. One more game. By the time this podcast is on, playoffs will start. So, with the play-in games, if you count that as a playoff, they will start already. The Wizards, of course, is not in there. They're not even going to win 20 games. They are at 15 as of right now, which is pretty damn sad. Like, you can't even win 20 goddamn games. My friend, he had put a bet that the Wizards will win 25 games in a season. And yeah, he lost that, man, by 10 games. That's that's crazy. You wouldn't think that. You wouldn't think it would have been. I mean, for the season, I would have thought they would win 25 games. I thought they were good enough for that.
Yeah.
Like, I was hoping for, like, can we get 30 to 35 games at least this year? That's what I was hoping for. Damn, I was way off.
Yeah.
I was like, no, this team was horrible. Yeah, I have much to say about basketball. Because, I mean, well, NBA, I had much to say. Oh, championship.
Yeah.
In college basketball, though, you got UConn men's winning, again, back-to-back, beating Purdue, who lost in the first round last year, you know, to a 16 seed, the second one seed. And they were trying to do what Virginia did, was that go back and win a championship the next year. So it would be like, hey, you don't feel as bad. But they couldn't do it. So now you can still make fun of them for losing to a 16 seed and not winning championship.
Yeah.
The women, South Carolina beat Iowa. So they beat Iowa, which is Caitlin Clark's team, the best player in basketball. There was some controversy on the game before that with Iowa and UConn. Some people were saying that them calling that foul, that move and pick foul, was pretty tacky because they weren't calling it all game, but they picked a bad time to call it there. Hmm. Where UConn had a chance for a game-winning shot, and they couldn't do it. So that kind of sucked. But, yeah, South Carolina, undefeated women's. They won every game. It started out, I would start out big against them, too. They were looking good at the beginning. But South Carolina was too big for them. Like, they were going to offensive rebounds, like, constantly. And it was just... It became too much, like in the NBA. I mean, in women's basketball, like, size still matters, man. Size really do matter. So it was hard for those girls to get those rebounds on those missed shots and to even drive up there against those bigs. And yeah, they in South Carolina, they're a good team. I mean, not just the size, they're a good team overall too. So we got the combination of that. I mean, it's kind of hard to beat them, and that's why they're undefeated. So yeah, good for them, man. Good for them on the FC, and good for Caitlin Clark too. Plus, she helped really gain a lot of eyes on the women's basketball, even more eyes.
Yeah,
and also. That was the most watched. Not only was that the most watched women's game ever, it was more watched than the men's championship. Also.
Oh wow!
So yeah, they had more eyes on that game too. So yeah, so I know they're gonna miss Caitlin Clark. I wonder how she'd do in the WNBA. I wish her luck on that. And that's it. So what you got for wrestling? Oh, you got the WrestleMania happened.
It was WrestleMania. Let me start real quick. NXT had a stand and deliver show. That was kind of their WrestleMania weekend. Big show. That was Saturday, like morning, afternoon. It was at noon exactly on the East Coast. That was a lot of fun. That was a good show. NXT, I haven't really been following as much lately, just because there's so much wrestling and there's not any real good place to, I think I can watch that on Peacock. I'm not totally sure. But I just haven't gone out of my way to watch it, but that there were quite a few fun matches there. And then of course, WrestleMania night one was Saturday. That was pretty good. But night two definitely kind of, one-upped it there. The highlight, of course, of night one was Cody and Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns and The Rock. The Rock showed up. I know a lot of people, myself included, were kind of concerned about his ability to be in ring shape. You know, he was a big guy carrying around a lot of muscle, and that doesn't necessarily allow for you to go what ended up being like, I think, 45-ish minutes in a wrestling match. So like, awesome for him. And, you know, surprisingly, there wasn't like too much in the way of shenanigans in that match. It was really just, you know, those guys putting on a show, and it was pretty awesome. Night two, you had matches like Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre open the show. That was really cool seeing Drew McIntyre win the title in front of fans, because when he won the world title, it was the COVID WrestleMania. So he never really got to be champion in front of anyone. But he did basically immediately lose that title because he was boasting to CM Punk, because they've kind of been feuding, even though CM Punk's injured right now. And that gave Damian Priest, who has had the Money in the Bank briefcase for quite a while now, the opportunity to actually cash in and win that world title, which was, I don't know if I would say a pleasant surprise, but it was a nice surprise. I would like to see Drew have a decent run in front of fans. But I think it's cool to see that it seems like they have the confidence in Damian Priest to actually put the title on him. We'll see if it actually proves out to be the case, or if he just kind of flounders with the title and it was more of them trying to put a title on a guy to make the guy than, you know, the guy make the title. The women's world title match with Bayley and Io Sky, that was probably my match of the show, between the two shows. I think that was the best match at WrestleMania. And then, of course, Cody versus Roman absolutely delivered. You get the moment of Cody winning the title finally, but you also get it. They did a great job of having a really solid match before all the shenanigans kind of, you know, came in place. And that, of course, was, you know, Jimmy getting involved for Roman, which is countered by Jey Uso coming out. And he had previously beaten his brother on night one. Then you had Solo Sikoa come out, another member of the Bloodline, countered by John Cena, who he had basically retired at, I think, one of the last Saudi shows. The last time John Cena was around, he put him down. So John Cena came out to counter him. And then, of course, the final boss, as he likes to call himself now, The Rock, came out. You know, kind of as the...
Yeah, I was talking to my friend while I was watching that, uh-huh. I was describing the show to him, and I was like, they call him The Rock, the final boss. Yep,
the final boss. Which is just insane, because, like, all this time, like, he's supposed to essentially be under Roman Reigns, yet he's coming out here, you know, he's even acknowledged him as his tribal chief and whatnot. But, you know, he's out here calling himself the final boss. So it's like, obviously that's going to lead to something. But yeah, and, you know, it sounded like there was talks that Stone Cold might be the guy that they get to be the foil to The Rock, because, like, their rivalry was basically legendary. Stone Cold did come back a couple of years ago and fight Kevin Owens. So he has broken his retirement, basically. And really, it's just one spot anyway. It's not like he's, you know, he's done spots where he gives people Stone Cold Stunners before, and he could have done that here. There have been different rumors going around as to why that didn't work out, whether he was sick or whether the money didn't, you know, match up to what he wanted or whatever. It's unfortunate that that didn't happen, because that crowd would have went absolutely ballistic if they had heard Stone Cold's music hit, you know?
That's what I was waiting for, too.
Now, conversely, they did have The Undertaker, and the crowd still went absolutely berserk for that. Came out, gave The Rock a choke slam. There are reasons why that could have been, you know, obviously their rivalry wasn't quite the same level as The Rock and Stone Cold. But Roman Reigns did beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania and, you know, say it was his yard. So there's some reason, if you actually care about reasoning, for that. And then just ending the show with, like, Cody actually celebrating with some of the other wrestlers, you know, his wife, his mother, his father-in-law. Like, it really ended the night with a lot of positivity.
Yes, the ghost of Dusty was there,
The ghost of Dusty was there. And Nick Khan did apparently as like a gift to Cody Rhodes, Nick Khan being the new CEO of WWE, give him a watch that Dusty had sold to get the money to send Cody to acting lessons or something like that. So it was all very emotional stuff.
Okay, well, what's the name of the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the
so
and the
AEW is Tony Khan, his dad Shad Khan. Shad Khan technically is the owner of Jacksonville Jaguars, but yeah. So it's Tony Khan, and then ironically enough, now Nick Khan is the owner of the, well, not hell? Owner, but what? CEO of WWE.
A Khan?
It's a Khan dynasty.
They are exactly unrelated as far as
yeah. So
what the hell is Vince McMahon doing letting this shit happen?
Vince McMahon's not in a position to let anything happen at this point.
Well, I'm just saying that for something to go wrong, it got down to a con. Nah, man. What the hell?
Yep.
I thought this was America.
Yep, it is America.
This is America.
It's a melting pot down.
Melting pot my ass.
So yeah, and then kind of
that's
the
New
big,
York.
Who was that?
That's New York, not the rest of America. That's just New York, New York City.
And then the kind of biggest thing to come out of post WrestleMania stuff is on SmackDown. It seems like Roman's probably going to be away for a while, but they are still continuing the Bloodline story. Solo Sikoa has kicked Jimmy Uso out of the Bloodline because he lost, which is kind of ironic because Solo Sikoa has been doing nothing but losing since beating John Cena, essentially. And has replaced him with Tama Tonga, who is a guy that has been in New Japan for the longest time. He is another guy that is not necessarily of Samoan descent. He is, I think, a different kind of Polynesian. He is actually the son of Haku, or Ming, I think he used to be called in WCW. So there's like kind of this like loose bloodline affiliation thing. But it seems like they're doing something like kind of a bloodline takeover. Like Roman lost, Jimmy lost, and you know, it seems like from them turning on Jimmy, Paul Heyman's like trying to call Roman to find out what's happening, and Solo smashes his phone. So it seems like Roman Reigns doesn't know what's going on here. And later in the show, Tama Tonga says, you know, it's from orders of the tribal chief. Now, the speculation, of course, is that The Rock has decided that, you know, he is now the leader of the Bloodline because he did pin Cody on night one of WrestleMania. So he beat Cody. Roman Reigns lost to Cody. So therefore, you know, if anybody besides Cody is now the tribal chief, it would be The Rock. And I think that's a really interesting way for this to go. The Rock has now proven that he can actually go in the ring. And as long as he can keep that up, it sounds like he might be away for a while because he's got film stuff to do. And Roman, it just seems like they're probably going to keep him off TV for a while, because when he comes back, he's going to be naturally more babyface, especially if they have the rest of the Bloodline or what now becomes the new Bloodline with Solo and Tama Tonga. Having them, you know, be these bad guys. And meanwhile, he's like, what's going on here when he comes back? So that's going to be really interesting. Cody, I'm intrigued to see what they do with him as champion. Like, they've already teased that The Rock is going to face him at some point, whether that be like SummerSlam or a Saudi show or even WrestleMania next year. On Raw, he basically said, you know, I'm still coming after you. I got to go away for a while, but this is not settled. I respect you. You won. Good for you. But I'm still coming for your head, basically. But outside of that, I don't know who you have lined up to challenge Cody, especially because technically he's the champion of SmackDown, and SmackDown doesn't really have a lot of guys that are elevated to the level of challenging for the championship. AJ Styles is a guy who is now heel. He's a bad guy, but he just lost at WrestleMania to LA Knight. And he just won a triple threat or fatal four way or something on SmackDown. I don't know if that was for a shot at the title or what. I mean, it is sometimes in wrestling as simple as, okay, excuse me. Okay, he lost that match. We're going to have him win this match. And now all of a sudden he's back in the title picture. Like AJ Styles is a star to the level of you can just put him in there at any point and it's valid enough. But at the same time, he's not going to beat Cody. So if we're getting into the whole, like, is he a legitimate threat? Then no, he's not. And that's when it becomes slightly less interesting. Now, obviously, like, we've had 3-4 years of Roman's reign, basically, at this point, where most of the people that we saw come across his desk were not legitimate threats. But there were a few times where they, you know, gave us the thought that, you know, they could actually change the title there, you know, when they had Drew McIntyre in Scotland, I think it was, and stuff like that. So, you know, you gotta build it, I guess, but I need them to do something because this was such a big win for Cody that it feels like they need to keep that same energy for his title run. Cause a lot of times you see these baby faces win, like with Daniel Bryan, that was a huge win at WrestleMania. And then kind of his entire title reign was kind of blasé. So yeah, wrestling is pretty awesome coming out of WrestleMania. AEW. Oh, that's the other thing. I just need to mention this real quick, Dominic. So we talked about, like, why CM Punk left AEW. He got fired because he had a backstage incident at All In, their biggest show. They had it in Wembley Stadium last year. He got involved in a backstage kerfuffle with Jack Perry, the son of Luke Perry, who is also a wrestler. Not just some random guy in the backstage. There was a story that leaked out just to kind of set this up that Jack Perry wanted to do some kind of spot with real glass. CM Punk told him, like, no, we don't do that on the show, because I think it was for Collision. That was when basically CM Punk was running Collision. The third,
you said, with real glass?
Yeah, with real glass instead of, like, sugar glass. I don't know.
I'm saying, like,
yeah, it's done. Like,
come on, man.
So that got leaked out through whatever means into the wrestling dirt cheats, the rumor mill, that, you know, basically Jack Perry wanted to do this thing. He was stopped from doing it. There's a lot of speculation that came out of, like, CM Punk's camp, because, like, there wouldn't have really been that many people that were, you know, kind of privy to that information. And it was basically leaked to make Jack Perry look bad. So on the All In pre-show, Jack Perry had a match against Hook. It was an FTW rules match, which is basically a hardcore match. And he suplexed Hook onto the windshield of a car. Before doing that, he knocked on the car window and said, "Real glass, cry me a river." Obviously referring to, you know, these rumors that CM Punk had basically told him that shit doesn't fly. Apparently when he went backstage, CM Punk approached him, said, like, what was that all about? You know, Jack Perry allegedly said something to the extent of, like, you know, what are you going to do about it? What he did about it was shove him very aggressively and then put him in a chokehold, before Samoa Joe got involved and kind of broke it up. And then allegedly CM Punk told Tony Khan, cause this all happened, like, right behind the curtain, where they sit and monitor and do all that stuff, told him at that point that he quit. This was before CM Punk's match with Samoa Joe that was supposed to open All In. That was the biggest show that they had ever had. So that all happened. CM Punk ended up actually going out there, having a match with Samoa Joe, and then was fired shortly thereafter.
Now, for the longest time since that incident occurred, everybody said, like, there's footage of this because, like, Wembley Stadium is a modern stadium. They've got cameras everywhere. There's evidence of this. Like, there's footage. Forever, people have been saying that. Nothing ever came of it, though. You would expect that kind of thing to come out through, like, TMZ or whatever, right? So, CM Punk last week is part of, like, the WrestleMania build-up, went on Ariel Helwani's podcast. He's a MMA guy, but he's also big into wrestling. And CM Punk talked about it. He basically said, you know, he said this thing. I approached him. I choked him a little bit. I told Tony Khan I quit. This place is a clown show. It's not a serious business. I'm quitting. So seemingly in retaliation to that, AEW, most likely Tony Khan himself, decided to air the footage that did in fact exist of this altercation backstage on Dynamite this week.
Oh my goodness.
So instead of, like, a year ago when this happened, putting it out through TMZ to, like, try and make Punk look bad or whatever, now is like, and they're trying to use it as a storyline thing, because the Young Bucks, who were involved in the backstage altercation the first time that CM Punk had an altercation, are now, like, they've always been executive vice presidents, but they're, like, in-story executive vice presidents now. So they're, like, bad guys that are using their sway to, you know, do whatever. So they used the video footage as basically, like, they're setting up this match against FTR. And they're like, you know, your friend threw us off our game, and that's why we lost to you guys at All In. And it's just like, it's like this really bad cell phone, because it is basically at this point, everybody's talked about this so much that we kind of knew what we were getting into seeing this footage. And really that's what it was. It was, you see Jack Perry standing there, CM Punk comes up to him. You can't hear what they're saying, 'cause it's like, you know, closed circuit TV. It's like security cam footage, but it's relatively clear. Jack Perry's just doing whatever. He's talking to him. CM Punk's talking. And then CM Punk just very aggressively pushes him. Jack Perry comes back at him. CM Punk grabs him in a chokehold, like, underneath his arm. They bump into the table. It seems like where Tony Khan is, that's kind of around a corner you can't really see. Then you see Samoa Joe come over, kind of get them separated. It looks like CM Punk throws another, like, swing, doesn't hit anything, but it looks like he's, you know. And then you see him go, like, behind this corner and be, like, you know, mouthing off, probably to Tony Khan, just like you said. And then, you know, he walks off and, you know, a couple of people follow him to talk to him. But it's like, if you had shown this at the time of his firing and said, like, this is why we fired this guy, cool, fine, whatever. Same thing around the same time, you know, if it leaked to TMZ somehow, oh no. Again, it doesn't make Punk look good. Now that he is, by his own words, said, like, this has happened, you know, it's whatever. And basically part of the reason why he left is because he doesn't respect the company. To show this footage on your television show, and then the worst part is to have the crowd react by chanting CM Punk, because that's the reaction that they got in the arena when they showed it. Like, it is the biggest, like, it makes you look so petty.
It tells, like, what he said about being a joke.
Yeah.
You just made it look like a joke.
So
he made the show look like a joke.
It's really rough right now with AEW, which is sad because, like, they're about to have a pay-per-view. Swerve and Samoa Joe are about to have a world title match, and most likely Swerve is going to win, and he's an incredible star. Like, it's going to be awesome to see this guy win his first championship, and to just kind of, like, sully everything by just having these, like, really reactionary outbursts from Tony Khan, basically. It's just really sad because it's like he's even on Twitter now, like, oh, look at our ratings are up 27% over last week's. And it's like people are like, oh, yeah, it's very gracious of WWE star CM Punk to increase your ratings. Like, it's just it's such a bad look. The guy doesn't work for your company anymore. Just let it go. Because they're doing a lot of stuff that's like it's trying to stick it to WWE. And now this one might be the rumor mill is kind of like back and forth on this one. But Will Ospreay, a guy that they recently signed from New Japan, who was a big free agent, had a lot of potential to have gone to WWE as well. Triple H on Pat McAfee's show said basically like, you know, some of these guys that have signed other places, maybe they just, you know, they signed because there's a lighter schedule. Maybe they're not here for the grind. Obviously, like, kind of shitty. You know, there have been a couple of big major signings. Will Ospreay, Kazuchika Okada. I mean, even Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, you could kind of put in the same realm. You know, yes, AEW absolutely has a lighter schedule. And if I'm having a lighter schedule and getting the same or more money, like, yeah, that's kind of incentive to go there. But so it's kind of a shitty thing for Triple H to say. But on Dynamite, again, Will Ospreay went out there and said something to the effect of like, oh, you know, I might not be about the grind, but the only reason you're in the position that you're in is because you're grinding on the boss's daughter or something like that. It's just like,
really?
Yeah. Like, why are you guys reacting to them? Like, just put on your own show and make it good and don't worry about what they say about you. Like, the only way you make yourselves look like a smaller show is by reacting to them. Because guess what? They're not reacting to you.
That's what they used to do with WCW.
Exactly. Exactly. Like the billionaire Ted skits and
yeah.
And like Oklahoma or whatever, you know, the Jim Ross stuff that WCW did.
I always didn't like them.
Yeah. Like it's in bad taste. So yeah, like I don't know if it's Tony Khan making these decisions. It sounds like, you know, if Will Ospreay was to say that on like Twitter, that's fine. Like that's him expressing his opinion about someone that he feels like said something about him. But like to put that in your show, it just feels childish, I guess. You know, wrestling is inherently childish, but like even more so. Yeah, so wrestling is good right now, and AEW needs to find their footing a little more. And I'm hoping, you know, with this pay-per-view coming up and a title reign from Swerve, they can maybe focus a little more on building up some of these new guys that they have brought in. You know, even you know, getting the women's division more in line with Mercedes Moné getting back in the ring, stuff like that. Like they've got so much talent there and it feels like it's kind of being squandered at the moment. And I don't know if it's all due to Tony Khan, but at the end of the day, he is the top and the buck kind of stops with him. It really would be in his best interest to find someone to help him either book the show. I mean, I know he has like Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, like helping out with some of that stuff, but like he's doing that. He's doing Ring of Honor at the same time. Like maybe he's just being pulled too thin. And because of that, he's, you know, getting worked up about stuff that he doesn't need to. Scott D'Amore, the guy that was running TNA recently, was fired, seemingly because of his desire to actually like buy the product away from Anthem, the parent company. And he has done an incredible job at turning that company around from basically what was a joke to a relatively like fourth pillar, behind like New Japan and AEW and WWE. it would really be in Tony Khan's best interest to get him in there, even if it's just to do Ring of Honor so that Tony can focus on AEW. Like, I mean, preferably maybe even just have Scott Moore work on AEW. But like, man, Tony Khan just seems like a guy that is an internet weirdo with way too much money. Like, he's one of us as far as like Redditors go, but also has just way too much money. So that combination of things makes him like borderline dangerous. So yeah, he needs to continue using that money for good and employing good wrestlers and putting on a good show.
I look at him, I just think of like him, like his father, like when he goes talk to his father just looks down on him. It's like, you just got this wrestling thing here. Something like that. Like he's
disappointed like he dad just, like, perpetually.
Yeah. He said like, hey, like he go to his dad and say, hey, look what I'm doing here and stuff like that. He said, this is just kid shit. He said, you still ain't ready for a big time.
You're not ready for the Jaguars.
Yeah.
But dad. Yeah.
So. I just feel like I just want to prove myself to you.
Yeah. So that is wrestling. It is good, but also maybe bad. Also, real quick, John Moxley of AEW did just win the New Japan World title last night. So that's kind of crazy. Good for him. Maybe keep himself away from AEW for a little bit because it's messy. So yeah, that's kind of cool. There was a joke post saying, you know, it's been 5 whole days since a member of the Shield, which was Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and John Moxley, has held a world title following WrestleMania Night 2, where both Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns lost their title. Thank God the drought is over, which is pretty funny. So, all right, Dominic, that's it.
All right. So I guess we get to what we were watching. So I watched Shogun, the first episode of Shogun. Mm-hmm. I believe it's still going on, or it might have just ended. It's one or the other. I don't know how many episodes it's supposed to be for. But I checked out the first one, and it was pretty good. It's pretty authentic, and what I mean by that is like that there's a lot of it's Japanese spoken, so it's subtitled, and thing is, when the Englishmen who do come over, they speak English, but apparently when they do speak Portuguese, they also speak English also. So so I guess that's to keep it, you know, without just keep reading subtitles or something like accessible. That. So people go,
yeah.
Well, so we can just understand. But I mean, I enjoy it. See, so like, even though like, you know, I'm not a big subtitle guy, but since it's something I enjoy. And I like that kind of period piece kind of stuff. I love that period piece kind of history shows that mm-hmm. are in that are pretty good, you know, the good storylines and things of that nature. I like the first episode. So I will continue watching it. One of the actresses in there, I know one of the actresses, forgot his name. I've seen him other places. He plays a Spaniard. In this, he's a regular. I forgot his name, but I see a lot of Japanese actors in other places. Some of these actors, you know, I know their faces. I don't know their names.
I was gonna say I'm looking at some of their faces, and I definitely, you know, recognize them from.
Yeah, and of course the actress, the woman, she's I seen her recently in the Godzilla. I mean the Monarch series. Mm. So it's just like it looks like she's really getting, you know, some time now. Like she's so we'll I'll see how this goes. I mean, it's got good ratings. I think I was talking to my dad about it. I remember he saying like he saw people comparing it to like Game of Thrones.
Oh wow.
Kind of,
production value wise
like that. Yeah, I know. yeah, exactly. The intro is kind of like it kind of reminds me of it. Yeah. I don't think it's the intro in the first episode. I think it's the second one when I saw it, and I was like, "Oh, I like it." It has that what's it called when they sweep the sand? You know when they do the Asians do it's something they do like that, and they get angry when you step on it. I know I always do.
Where are you going that you're stepping on people's weeks?
There's places like that they have it like a display or something like that. And then I just like to say, like, I want to mess it up.
So you're doing it on purpose. Got it.
Yeah. Exactly. I do, because I know they work so hard on it, and I know it's, and I just hate the world, day. I was joking. No. The intro kind of starts. It has like a bunch of that sand around, and then they have the different not cities or castles or whatever you want to call them around, mm-hmm. like. Stand up in the sand, and then like they have some ships sailing. Like the sand is almost like the water, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It looks nice on
YouTube.
Though.
It's really cool looking.
Yeah, but yeah, man, it's pretty cool how they do that. Because I always wondered like about like the Western worlds met the Eastern world and mm-hmm. things of that nature. And it's so funny how each group called each other savages. they call them these you savages, and then Japanese call them savages in their language. And because it's just that, like, and thing is, it's different. Like you look at it as it's different how when the Westernization met with like the Native American stuff like that. Like, because the way they lived, the Americans are more, they were tribal, but also nomadic, you know, mm-hmm. they kind of moved. They didn't stay in one place all the time.
Right. They didn't have a built-up civilization.
Exactly. While people in Japan, you're seeing like, hey, they're kind of similar, yeah. you know, I mean, that Japan or China, they have these places where that are kind of similar. They are built up. They have laws. They have a structure, societal structure that is different from yours, but it is something that's there, which is probably easier to speak. I mean, as far as communicating with that because of trade and stuff like that. I mean, because of they know that of knowing, it's probably easier to really communicate with that. Because like if you communicate with people who don't understand, you'll know the reaction can be totally good or bad. like, because they're going to see you as a threat because they don't understand what the hell you are. Or they might, maybe they'd be too understanding. You could take advantage of them, which, you know, we've seen that. While it would take a little more for, like, you to do that stuff with these cultures. Because I also wanted to know, how did the Portuguese... Because some of these Japanese are Christian. And the Portuguese, they brought that over. I was like, how did they get these people to convert?
Mm.
Like, why did they convert their religion? And I think I looked it up to see how they do that. I think, what was it? Was there a battle or something? And I think it was like, it wasn't that they converted the peasants people like that. Like, I think they were really the start because it was easy to do them.
Right.
And maybe they kind of spread. But I need to look more into it. I did look it up, but because I was always wondering, like, how the hell, like, if I were in society and like, how are these people going to tell me about their God? I'm like, man, the hell with your God? That's like, I got my own. But anyway, where were we at? That's it. That's all I watched. So what do you watch?
All right, so I watched Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves. That's the one with Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez.
Yes.
That movie looked kind of silly and bad. It actually turned out to be a lot of fun.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I was very surprised.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot. It felt maybe a little overly long, but not too bad. I think that might have been just because I had split it between so many days. But yeah, like everybody in there is very charismatic and a lot of fun to watch.
Except for Rodriguez to me.
I mean, she's what she is, you know, she's playing the role of the barbarian and doing a pretty good job of being surprisingly charismatic for what she usually is. I think more so than any of the times I've seen her in like the Fast and Furious movies, she's quite likable in this movie.
Yes. Yeah, I can say that. Yeah,
and I kept seeing Hugh Grant and going like, I recognize him, but I didn't know who I was recognizing, and then I saw the credits that was Hugh Grant, and I was like, oh, that's...
Yeah, because I don't remember... I never really see him that silly.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah. Most of the time, I always think of him in love stories. Exactly. Back in the day.
So, yeah.
But yeah, he was funny, though. Mm-hmm. It was a funny... Like, yeah, it was a good movie that I was surprised. Like, it did... Like, it looks... Like, it could have gone really bad. It could have been like, oh, this looks so cheap.
That's what I was expecting. And that's the other thing. The CG, like, everything looked really good. I was quite surprised.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it was good. Like, it wasn't shitty. I had to say that. I mean, it really was. I mean, it was pretty funny, even with the brain stuff, which is funny because the brains are the things you see I play in this game.
Yeah.
And, like, when they say they attack you like the smart, like how smart you are. Like that's when they'll attack you.
Yeah.
And when they just walk past them, it's like, what the? That was assaulting. I thought that was a pretty good movie. I mean, I hope it was good enough to get some type of sequel or something. But I mean, if it don't, it was definitely better than the first one. I know the one with the Wayans brother.
Yeah.
And there, God, that was horrible. Did you see that one?
No, I don't think I ever saw that one. Oh, well, because I heard how bad it was.
Good God. That was horrible.
So, yeah, definitely recommend that. The movie was really fun. And then I also watched the Fallout. I watched on Amazon Prime the new Fallout show that's based on the games. The first episode and part of the second episode, so far, it's really good. You know, just like I mentioned with Dungeons and Dragons, I think
it's better than Halo.
I haven't seen Halo, Dominic, so I can't say that.
Well, it probably is.
I'm pretty sure it is. But yeah, they do a good job of setting things up in this first episode. The first episode is like an hour and 10 minutes, so they have quite a bit of time, but they are exploring different characters. Like you have Walter Goggins, who's a ghoul. They kind of set up his like pre-explosion life a little bit right at the beginning of the show. And then you have the vault dweller Lucy, who has like very Zooey Deschanel vibes. Like the vault stuff is like, they do an interesting like split of light comedy. Like they're just kind of silly things that you're like, okay, this is, there's something off here. But like with very brutal violence in this show, there's some gory stuff in it. And then you also have this character that's part of the Brotherhood of Steel, Maximus, and he's kind of at the lower levels and aspiring for more. And this first episode does a lot with building up well, not so much Walter Goggins, really. You really see kind of his beginnings. And then at the end of the episode, you kind of see where he is now. Really, in this first episode, you see Lucy and Maximus mostly. But they do a really good job of setting those two characters up and kind of the journeys that they're going to be on and lay the breadcrumbs of how they will probably all converge by the end of this season. The money is definitely on the screen. Everything looks good. I will say, I mean, like the Fallout suits, the what are they called, Dominic? Like the mech suits that the Brotherhood of Steel has.
Oh, they
power arm, suits. I forgot what they power called. Armor.
Power armor. Yeah,
they look silly, but they've kind of always looked silly. Just the proportions and everything. They don't really change them. They're very true to the game. So as silly as they can look in the game, they also kind of similarly look pretty silly in the TV show. But it's not bad. It's just like, yeah, this that design doesn't necessarily translate super well to live action. But yeah,
in real life, you would never make a suit like that. Yeah, make a suit like
exactly.
That.
I mean, unless you were in the post-apocalypse and you only had like a limited number of parts, I guess, maybe.
Well, yeah, but I definitely, it just doesn't seem too mobile.
No,
like, not I at mean, all. like turning around and stuff. What's
behind me? Oh yeah, someone killing me. Yeah, so I think it's very good. It's definitely intense. They've got, like I said, some very gory violence in there. There's definitely some cursing in there. It's an adult show made for adults. You know, they're definitely going for the HBO kind of audience. It's, or the Breaking Bad audience even, but I think it's a little more extreme than that. Yeah, but I'm very optimistic. I've seen pretty high reviews for the show, so it sounds like, you know, it's only up from here. So
I don't know. Some people were mad at it's going against the lore. I saw some article in one of those, you know, the Google news stream thing you get on your Android phones. I'm not gonna click on because I don't give a shit.
Exactly. But,
because they said, like, oh, the creator responds to the people who said that it did not go against that it went against the lore or something like that. It's like, oh God.
Yeah, I know what I've seen so far, and I don't know that it's even come up in the show that I've seen yet. But like, apparently, like Vol-Tek in the show is who dropped the bombs, and I saw some headlines about people complaining about that. But like,
Who did drop the bomb? Because I don't even know.
I don't think they ever actually say in the games. I don't think they're explicit about it.
I was about to say.
You know, I just assumed it was the Russians. Yeah, it was that time, Dominic. It was the Cold War. But did we ever see like outside of? Do we know what outside of America looks like in those games?
See, that's what I don't like. I mean, the games.
I mean,
the
we can go to Alaska.
Yeah, that's
three, but yeah.
I guess you find a way to go to Alaska without touching any Canada.
Exactly. Just take the boat around, Dominic.
Yeah.
So, yep, but that's what I've been watching. It's promising. I'm going to continue watching it.
All right. So now we can get to what we've been playing. So what have I been playing? I've been... I'll do mine since you've been talking for a while.
I appreciate it.
So I've been playing. Oh, I did finish Man Eater. I finished Man Eater. The main story. Apparently, there's some other stuff after. I don't know if this is the DLC because I was thinking of something I had to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Or was this just something? There's a post game that they gave for free. I have no idea. But that's why I left the game still. Installed on my computer because I was like, I'll go and try this out. But overall, it's an alright game. It gets a little it gets tedious because you do like the same things, and but you know what? If you kind of just go straight through the story, it's kind of quick, and I think that's a good amount of time for it. If you try to do everything, you know, I mean, if you're trying to do everything like all those little side quests and collectibles, I mean, then that's what you're. You know it's going to be tedious then, because that's just what it is.
Yeah.
But I do like when you're kind of going to the ocean part, like of the Gulf, like the kind of open area part, and like now you're seeing like killer whales and even sperm whales you got to fight and something like that, and they're big, and then the ocean is so big and stuff, and it kind of gives like almost that kind of scary feel of like the unknown because it's like a wide open ocean. But then I got to think like, hey, I'm the man eater. I should be. I said, who cares? Like I'm the alpha predator here.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the post game is towards a deal like there's another new alpha or something out there, and you're going after it. And I'm thinking that's what I see because I see that there's a like, oh, the special edition has this special looking shark up there. I'm guessing, oh, maybe that's the one I have to fight, because I'm not a hammerhead. I'm a bull shark. Well, a mutated bull shark, anyway. But, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this game is fun. It's funny. I mean, it's definitely hilarious if you hear the dialogue. I had to make sure to turn down, like, the sound effects so I can hear what they're saying sometimes because I'll be playing and they're talking. I was like, oh man, I can't really hear. But yeah, it was a good game. I'm surprised it's not a sequel or anything with this, but then again, I'm kind of not surprised because I think if this was this game came out like maybe like 15 years ago or something like that, there would have been like three of them by now.
yeah.
But I think with the way the economy is, the way game development is now with the big companies, it's, man, you're getting, you're kind of, I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of hit and miss. Maybe, like, that's why you just keep seeing so many sales on just this one game. And, like, maybe they're not going to make a sequel or something like that because just the money ain't there. I don't know. But anyway, what's up, play? I play some more Dead Island 2, my friend, a bit. I played a little bit by myself, too, because I was just trying to do some of the extras, the side missions. It seemed like the side missions where you had to look for people, I think only a few times I think I actually found people, but most of the time they're already dead and turned to zombies. So you gotta end up fighting them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I always seem to expect. It's like, oh, okay, so this is gonna be probably the big boss, is the guy he's supposed to find, and because it's like he's looks like he's gonna be dead, and then he's gonna be some super zombie. But the story is yeah, like I said, is whatever. But I'm kind of understanding what's going on with it. Like apparently, there's something going on with the government. And then I still don't understand who these other people are. Like, they seem like they have powers, like me, with the zone. Like, they're immune. But it seemed like they want to do something else. They're not trying to help humanity. They want to cause something else. And I guess they want me to join them or something. But I haven't got too far in. And my friend, he probably beaten the game already because I see him playing it when I'm not playing it. And he would have to join my game, which that's what I said. It sucks because I don't care about the story. So I wish I could just join his game and just keep going ahead. But it don't allow you to do that. So I still think that sucks. But the weapon customizations are pretty good. But it's getting to a point where I'm just tired now of collecting new weapons. And now they do have it where you can just use your money towards just to level up the weapon you have to the level you are. So you don't have to replace it. But it's expensive. Like, I get into a point where I cannot even afford to do that all the time. So inventory management that's really the downside for me, which, I mean, these games, it is what it is. I don't know how you make it better, really, honestly. I just wish there was a AI system in the game where it'd be like, hey, you do this for me, please. Just pick the best weapon I can possibly have, and with the money I have, like, just make the best I can do before I don't have to go in myself to look at each one. And so I just want to keep playing. I feel like I can just keep playing and mowing down zombies without really stopping, unless I'm going to buy some health or something like that. So that's it for that game. I played a little bit of PGA Tour because that was on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. It's free. I guess EA Play has it, and it's free on Game Pass now. They need an easier mode for me for this game. Because I remember playing EA, and maybe it was just the Wii version that did it. Because I remember where you can make it so that you can pick and you can hit, if you hit to the spot, it will go directly to that spot.
Oh, wow.
If you hit the buttons at the right way, whatever. Mm-hmm. I remember you doing that. This game, there's no way for me to do that. Like, now they do have a thing called Mulligan where you can just redo your shot, but you can't do that in season mode. Like if you're going through a season, like going through tournaments, you can do that in like just quick play. And I was upset because I was trying to do that in regular season, but I was like, oh, well, I can just use the Mulligan and just keep redoing my shot until I get to where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And nope, they wouldn't allow me to do that. So I'm not going to play no more because I'm not trying to really learn golf. I don't want a real challenge, honestly. Right. I just want to get this.
Yeah, arcade golf.
Supposedly I am playing arcade, apparently. But it's just that I still not getting a shot. I still have to look at the wind. I still have to look at where the hill is.
Yeah.
Because every time when I put it where the line is, where the direction of the line where the ball is going to be, it ends up going away because of the wind and the hill. And I was like, oh, man. I said, I thought I was thinking that since I put it on an easy super easy mode or something, that it was making it so that it would tell me where it would be at, regardless of the wind. Like, because of the wind, that's where it would be at. But no, I still have to adjust towards that. I'm like, I don't want to play real golf. Like, I don't like golf that much, but I do want that green jacket. And now I can't get the green jacket because I'm not playing this realistic way golf, and there's no cheats for it because this game is always online.
Yeah.
So I can't do that because that's what EA does now, make games online and everything. And that's what somebody says, that why you can't probably do mulligans and just play the way you want to play on the tournament stuff, because they try to, you know, put everything you do is for online, basically. Like, hey, you get these stats you can put online so you can use for your online character. And that's what all these sports games do. And it's like, pisses me off. I was like, oh, god damn, man. So, I mean, it looks nice. It looked good. It ran okay on my computer. I know it could look a whole lot better than that, but it ran good on my computer, the game.
Cool.
And, yeah. So, I mean, it probably is a good golf game. Like that's what I'm saying. Just for me,
yeah.
It wasn't for me. Like, I want, like you said, arcade golf, and I want an easy mode. I want an easy mode where I can just, I want it like it was on the Wii when I played Tiger Woods Golf. What else have I played? I played some more Yakuza 5. Man, this game goes places, because I'm at the prison. Like I told you, last time I played, I was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I broke out of prison. You got this snowmobile kind of chase scene going on. And
awesome.
So then, you beat those guys, and now you're in a town, like this small village, like that's in the up in the mountains, and these people are being like basically scared of this bear. Like, well, the bear, you saw the bear before you got to town, because that's when he was on the snowmobile. You remember somebody telling you in prison about a rumor about this man eating bear or something, but you didn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
But then you see this bear, and I had to fight the bear, and I fought it, but he just ran away. But he's still alive. Like, he's just kind of hard to kill. And, like, it's this guy in the village who's just been trying to hunt him. And I've been basically helping the town with that. And then some other hunter, like some big game hunter, came and said, hey, I'm going to get this bear. I'm going to help this village out. But he's just like a bat. I mean, he's just doing things his way. Like, he just put a whole bunch of bear bait everywhere. So other bears would come. And the town people were upset. I had to go help them out by picking up all the bait. And then fighting the other bears, but not then the big bear was basically eating him up. I had to go save his ass.
Ouch.
And it's so funny in this game, because like when you see people get like hit or shot or just beaten, like they're really beaten. Like I used to think they're dead. It's like, yeah. Damn man, it killed him. But then it'd be like, oh, he's still alive. I say, how the fuck is he still alive? And I was like, ain't no way in fucking hell this man's still alive. Then the next scene, you see them all just bandaged up and said, oh, I'm hurt. I said, man, you should be dead. I said, they make these scenes so gruesome that they should be dead. I was like, what the hell? But I'm still in the village. Like, basically, I can leave the village and go to the city now to where traditional Yakuza games are. But I'm just going to finish the side quests here. Oh, and there was one side quest where I was this old man, he was like a sage. And he said, like, hey, if you give an offering to this hut or something, the gods will bestow you some power. Like, they will teach you something.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to give them something. Like, he gives me a clue of what to get to give. And I'll give them something. Like, one time I was given like some food, then some, then another, and then like a god would take possession of him. Then you have to fight him, and then you learn a new move, you know. And then, like, so I was given food one time, and then I had to give something like expensive stuff, and I was like, okay. And then the last thing, it was weird because it's like a sacrifice, you know, the gods usually had sacrificed virgins or something like that. And I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to get that? And then I looked online and said, get a nudie magazine or something. I said, what the fuck, the gods want a nudie magazine? So I gave that. And then I guess it's used it as like the girls in there. But I was like, I don't know if they're virgins or not, but whatever. So I did it. But then you find out that this was all a trick, because the guy even got the gods mixed up. When he talked to me, then I realized, like, wait a minute. He said, what's going on? I said, what's going on here? And they realized he was tricking you to give him stuff. So basically, he won that nudie bag. That's what got the nudie bag. I was kind of thinking that too. It's like, wait, this is a joke. That's it, because this ain't no, the guy probably won. And it was. Like, the guy was just collecting stuff. He was saying, like, yeah, I just wanted you to collect things for me because I was too old to leave. He said, but you have learned new moves, and you know, I'm sorry, I would never do it again. And then it was like the scene disappearing. But then your character's like, oh, no, wait a minute. No, he said, you made me do all this shit, and you just going to leave? He's like, you just going to leave and just say sorry? Something like that? He said, you better explain. Yeah, it was funny. It was a funny scene. That was pretty cool, though. But this game, like, I'm just on the second character, and I was like, God damn, this game is long. And, like, these cutscenes are, like, there's a lot of movies in this game. There's a lot of talking, but it's a lot of game, too. So I'm like, damn, man, this game's, I'm never going to finish this Yakuza 5. By the time I finish Yakuza 5, they're going to delist probably some other game or something. Or it's going to be delisted. I probably can't finish it delisted. I won't get to 6. And maybe I just have to jump right into Yakuza, Year of the Dragon? I said Year of the Dragon.
Like a Dragon.
What's it called? Like a Dragon. Okay. Like a Dragon 2, maybe up there or something like that. But yeah, but it's a fun game. I guess people were online, though. They said how long it is and how vast and it is, like, during. Like, I didn't never expect I'll be, like, in a village or something like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And fighting a bear. I never thought I'd be fighting a bear. So like, and you're hunting. And you also, it's hunting. Like, you're going out. You can hunt. You put down traps. And then we go back and hunt again. You know, you see if your traps collected something. Or, like, if you, and then, like, you see some deer. You got a gun. You can hunt deer and things of that nature. You got to shoot them in the head. Then you get bears. You got to shoot them in the head, too.
Makes sense.
Oh, well, they say the good hunter can shoot a bear in the heart.
Wow.
That's better. But thing is, you got to get the bear to stand up. And you got to be a good shot.
I was going to say, you got to get the bear to hold steady for you.
Yeah. If you're really that good of a hunter, you're a good sniper kind of shot. Like, you can just get it when he just moves.
Trust me, Dominic, I'm right not.
it's like, damn, man, they put a lot in this game. Yeah,
that's crazy.
This is definitely like the San Andreas of Yakuza games. right here. All right. What else have I played? I played some of Persona 5. I don't think I have all the characters yet, but I've got to a point in the game where you think you have the bad guy villain, which I'm guessing, like, this can't be the villain because this is... It seems like I'm missing something. Like I'm missing one of those characters, and it's like, yeah, it's too early. Like, the school year's not even over yet. This game usually lasts a school year. So yeah. I was like, yeah. It's like, yeah, I didn't find a villain. So I'm on, like, summer break right now. So you just be able to... You be able to do all this extra stuff if you want to do. Like, get done, either, like, talk with your friends and... Or go hang out and do some side quests or something. But, yeah... what else have I played? I think that's it. I don't think I didn't play in Diablo 4. Every time I keep thinking about playing it, I just decide not to. I know it still got the issue. And finally they told Xbox Game Pass people what to do. They said you have to restart your computer and don't open the Xbox app. Just open the Blizzard app and... update the game.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
But I can't just update the game. Like, right now, because it comes with an error. I said, what the fuck is wrong with this? What's wrong with the game, with your system that I have to do this?
They did not build there to be a intermediary between or something.
Maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe Xbox should have fucking just put it on their fucking Xbox app. Damn.
It's too much work for everybody, Dominic.
Yeah, it is. Or maybe you shouldn't force that to be your first game until you can get that to work. And what's up? Like, come on, man. Just put some more games out.
Yeah.
Like, what's the fucking hold up? Just release some freaking games.
We got to save it for an announcement at Jeff Keighley's Summer Games Fest.
And that's what people are saying. I was like, why does it have to be an announcement for each game? Just do what you do with these other games. Like you shadow drop Dead Island 2. You didn't tell nobody.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's it for me. So what you play?
I've finally got back to Prince of Persia and the Lost Crown. I've been like putting some serious time into it now. Beat the first boss, and then it's the one that gets kind of teased at the end of the demo that you don't actually get to fight. It was relatively difficult, but not too bad. I think the combat system in that is so good that you kind of just flow with it. Like it definitely took me a couple of tries, but I never really got frustrated. It was more me about like missing cues, because they do a good job of telegraphing what the enemy is going to do. You just need to be able to execute on it. I've gotten a couple of power-ups. I'm now almost as powerful as I was in the demo, because in that demo, they do give you a couple of abilities that you don't have at the beginning of the game. And you know, I did kind of miss them. Hold on, I'm going to sneeze. All right, sorry about that. So I did finally get those powers. It's one of them's like kind of a dash out of a jump, but you can use it out of a jump. And you can also use it in combat to kind of get through enemies a little easier.
Is the dash like, can you keep using it or it has to charge back up?
You can pretty much keep using it. You have to touch a surface, like, so you can't just dash through the sky basically and fly. But you can bounce off a wall and then dash. And the nice thing is you can dash in any direction. So you can jump off a wall and then dash back at that wall and then jump off that wall again and get higher. Unlike a Metroid where you might have to like go in the other direction and then work your way back a little more, so that like environments have to be designed with that kind of jump in mind. This one you can game it a little more. And I haven't seen any place yet where it's like, oh, you're getting someplace where you're not supposed to be with it. But I could definitely see, like, I'd be interested to see what like speedrunners can do with that ability. Story wise, it's surprisingly interesting for what they're doing. I don't know. The character that you're trying to save is the Prince of Persia. You're not the Prince of Persia. And I don't know if like eventually you become the Prince of Persia. But because you're in this,
you seem dark to be the Prince of Persia, Daniel.
Yeah, oh, is that what it is?
The other Prince of Persia I've seen, they were whiter.
Oh, that's very true.
Yeah, there was a white guy who played him in that
Jake Gyllenhaal in the movie. Yeah. But the story is kind of interesting because you are in this tower that's like sort of suspended in time. So you're seeing different variations of yourself, like your future self and your past self, which is kind of neat. And you're fighting them and then you get new abilities from fighting them. So far, I definitely understand where all the praises was coming from for this. I'm going to keep on trucking with it. Nothing like too crazy outside the genre, but really just a very well put together Metroidvania so far. I'm really digging it. The art style could use a little more zhuzh, if you will. Like it is very in-game, very generic, which is kind of sad because like all the complimentary artwork around it, like the stationary portraits, like character portraits that you see as people are talking, are very well done. And these kind of like cutscene bits are very well done, but the game itself is kind of very flat.
What about
I was just going to say that they have voice acting in basically everything, which is very nice. Oh,
good. That's good. Yes. And I mean, they should. I mean, it's
by they should. It's just not one of those things I necessarily expect, especially from a game like this, which feels kind of, I don't want to say low budget, but it seems like, you know, a lower budget title for them, you know, not something that they poured.
Well, the other one is going to be the one out I'm about to mention, like the rogue. Mm-hmm. They mean the one that's done by Dead Cells guys. Yeah. That's supposed to be
the rogue, doing that the Prince one. Of Persia.
Yeah. So what you think of that? The look of that one.
I think that is style. It's kind of plain, but it's stylized in a way that it feels more dramatic. Like it carries that sense of style from like the animations that they did for Dead Cells. And while that's very flat, I think it has a unique design to it that this game doesn't really have.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that's basically what I've been playing this week.
All right. So I guess we'll take a quick break when we get back and get to the flashback segment.
All right.
And we're back. And now we're going to the flashback segment. So we didn't do any games, new releases last time we did a podcast. We just did the video game covers on magazines. So now I'm going to start from the 1st to the 14th of new games that were out in 2014. We're going to start in 2014 right now. So what we got here is Goat Simulator came out 10 years ago.
Yeah. This
is the game where you played as a goat and you did anything you wanted, apparently. And then
just like goats in real life do. Just that's why it's a simulator.
Yeah. Which is, this game's been out for a while. It's been like on everything, and I have never played this game.
Me neither. It always looked like fun, but it seemed like a game that was more adept to streaming and just like a playground than it was like an actual game that I would have a lot of fun with. So it was a lot of fun to watch, but I don't know that I would get all that much fun out of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I seen it, I was like, oh, this looks funny. But I didn't even know what the game was. You know, it just seemed like you said, a playground. So yeah. it wasn't for me. But it was cool to watch, and people had fun with it. And we got Ghost Simulator 3. They skipped 2. That was a joke, right?
Yeah.
They got that out there. All right. But it's in so many DLCs came with Ghost Simulator. I mean, so many mods too. If you're on PC anyway,
yeah.
So it's like so much to the first game. So that's why it's been like 10 years. Like, when did 3 come out? Did it come out last year?
I think so. That sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. All right. So what else we have for 2014? We got Elder Scrolls Online. Was released 10 years ago. It's been 10 years of when Elder Scrolls finally had an online game that people have been asking for, like, with that, between that and Fallout, of like, hey, you want to play online with friends? But they made an online massive multiplayer game, which, you know, it's not what I personally wanted, but it actually did well. I mean, it did pretty well for that. And now that it's on Game Pass, now that I actually tried it, it does feel like an Elder Scrolls game. And you can play it basically by yourself. At least so far what I played of it. So it's nice. It's just that, you know, it's a massively multiplayer online MMORPG. So you're not going to be able to do mods and shit like that. Or, I mean, you shouldn't anyway. But yeah, I mean, but people, yeah, it's been enjoying it. It's been having so many updates, and they have expansions have come out. It means they've done well for itself. Like every year I heard about, like, a new expansion for it every time they have a Xbox show or Bethesda show or whatever. So, yeah, it must be doing something right. So, yeah. Like I said, I was surprised. Like, when I finally got my hands on it and I played it for some hours, I was like, you know what? This game, it does feel like an Elder Scrolls game. And it doesn't feel like an MMORPG. I mean, even though I see people around, but once you get into, like, going through quests and stuff, it's like I'm playing Elder Scrolls game. But thing is, see, with me, I always put in the cheats for Elder Scrolls games. So I feel like, oh man, I'm moving too slow and I can't jump 25 feet in the air like I usually do in these games or walk through walls. So I was like, so see, I like to do those things or have the ability to when I want to. So that's the only downside for me. What else we got here? We got the Xbox Kinect game, Kinect Sports Rivals, came out.
Made by Rare, Dominic. Like, this is like the pinnacle of the lowest that Rare God, I feel like, when they were like, you're relegated to avatars and Kinect games that maybe work all right, but sometimes don't, because the Kinect is only okay.
Yeah, it's, where has, yeah, man, it's been a sad thing with Rare, you know, like, Xbox really did not take advantage of having them. Even no. when they're at the height of the brand with the 360, the most they got, the highest thing for Rare was Viva Pinata.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that was the best thing they'd done. I mean, that was a well-done game, but that's it. Like, really, Nuts and Bolts was okay. I mean, it was different.
Yeah, it was different.
But come on, that's the only Banjo, that's the only new Banjo game, yo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just trying to think of something else they did.
Perfect Dark.
Oh yeah, that was horrible. Yeah. but like, just to have that brand, like, even like now, I mean, now you're hearing like, oh, they're doing the Perfect Dark, but I guess we'll wait to see whatever the hell that happens with that. But
yeah, and I'm like, not, is that even them? Because they have like that new.
No, it's not Rare. But I'm just talking about the brand that they had, like what Rare has that now Xbox owns. I mean, Microsoft owns.
Yeah,
is that they didn't even take advantage of just the branding? Like, even if you're not going to use the
Rare. Jet Force Gemini, Conquer.
Yeah, like you. Like, they didn't really take advantage of just the branding, like, of just having those games and giving it to somebody else. I mean, they're finally just doing that now, like, with the Perfect Dark. And, I mean, that's basically it. But, yeah, it's just, it sucks that they did, like, the time to do it, like, now, just the way the, like I said, with the way the game economy is I just can't imagine, like, seeing that stuff now. I'll be shocked, but it's like, darn, during the height of the Xbox 360 time days, that was like really the time, man, to really be bringing out that stuff. And at the beginning, at least the Xbox One, to have some of the people to look forward to. Yeah, I was always upset that Microsoft didn't have that game that could have been like a Ratchet and Clank, you know, kind of thing.
Got that mask.
You could have had something. Or something that could compete with like a Nintendo game. You could have had something. You could have had something going there.
It really made me wonder though, like coming out of that, like was it Rare or was it being under the mentorship of Nintendo? Like, I don't want to take away from Rare, but like, could that have been it? Is that why we didn't see games of the same quality coming out of Rare after they left Nintendo? Does Microsoft just not have the ability to, you know, show them how to make good games?
Like, for me, because I see only things I know about Rare is that I was least playing Rare was, of course, the Donkey Kong Country. But then when it was N64 with the 3D platformers. I didn't really. 3D platformers kind of went away though. As far as the other company, like, it was only Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah. Because Spyro kind of died off pretty quickly.
Yeah, Spyro and Crash Bandicoot, you know, but they never got really rated well in that way. Of the only platformers you had were Nintendo, and they weren't always doing 3D platformers, but. They had Mario Galaxy, you know. I'm trying to think of another one. What was another big 3D platformer from Nintendo? Mm-hmm. I know it was kind of like 2D, 3D-ish.
Yeah, because they really did kind of go back, you know.
Yeah. So really, and then Mario
Odyssey.
Odyssey, yeah. So, like, Rare, I only really known them for that. So, I guess, like, they're really, maybe they wanted to move away from that, but they didn't really do anything. I mean, the things they did, like, that was the Xbox, the late Xbox games, they weren't, like, grabbed by the ghoulies.
Yeah.
It wasn't, It was just average to below average.
How are they not the team to make Blinks the Time Cat?
That's what I'm saying. They're not that team, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I was about to say, that they're not that team because I think controls at least be a little bit better if they were the ones who did it. Because those controls were horrible. Grabbing the Ghoulies. What was the other game they did up there? The Conquerors was just a remake. There was another game they did. But see, Darren, that's the only one I can freaking remember. they just haven't done anything. Yeah, they really...
not of any significance. I mean, that's why the biggest game that they put out on the Xbox, I feel like, is the Rare Replay, which is just revisiting all their old games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'd count that, yeah. The whole, yeah, all that. But Viva Pinata is probably like as worse as like individual game.
That's true. Yeah. I keep forgetting about that, and you just mentioned it. Yeah, you do have to give them credit for creating that because that's a pretty awesome game for what it is.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. And it's almost seemed like Microsoft they could have made. I'm surprised they didn't try to at least keep making that, like some versions of that. Yeah. I mean, it looked like they were, but then it just stopped. All right. So anything else for 2014? I guess that's it.
That's it.
That was worth mentioning anyway. It really is. So now we're moving to 2004, 20 years ago, and we got Fight Night 2004 for the PS2 and Xbox. So why is this one a big one, Daniel?
I don't know if it's a big one, but it's got Roy Jones Jr. on it. I thought this was maybe one that had come out on the GameCube also, and I thought I played it, but I don't see a release date there for it, so maybe not. But it does say Next Generation ranked it in the 68th highest games during that. Yeah, I'm trying to think which one came out on the GameCube. Because what was it? It wasn't until the 360 era that we got, what were the newer ones called? The bigger ones.
Wait a minute. I thought they were called Fight Night. I think it used to be called, Knockout Kings.
Kings, yeah. Okay.
And then it changed it to Fight Night?
They changed it to Fight Night.
And then it was big because of how it looked visually. It looked really good on the 360.
But which then one was that? It was had that story round mode. Three?
It was like Fight Night. What's that called? Round three? I don't know. I just know
round
it was,
three, but that's Muhammad got Oscar Ali. De La Hoya on the cover, and I don't remember that being the one. But round four Ali and Tyson. But I feel like that's too late. I feel like that came after. So maybe it was. It's Fight Night Champions. That's way too late.
Yeah, well, that's way too late. That's the one I really played a lot because I like the story.
It was round three. But, yeah, that was just the visually impressive. But, yeah, nothing spectacular about Fight Night 2004, I guess.
Yeah, wasting my time. All right. all right, so what else we got here? We got Painkiller. Came out for PC. Awesome. So yeah, tell me about this game, Daniel.
This was basically like the spiritual successor to a Doom or a Hexen or Heretic kind of game. Fast paced, you know. This came out after Serious Sam, I believe, but was more like gothic.
I always get those games confused. Like, did they have the same story? Like Heretic and Hexen,
yeah, those I confuse because I'm not sure if they're in the same lineage or if they're not, to be honest with you. I felt like they were, but I could have just been a dumb kid back then thinking that they were the same thing. But this basically kind of was a spiritual successor to those. It also gave you really cool weapons, like you had like a stake shooter. so you could pin enemies to the wall and stuff like that with the physics, which was really neat. But I think overall it was just a really solid game. You know, it wasn't.
Yeah, like I mean, I remember playing this.
Highest, but I think it
was on the console version or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember playing. I don't know. I played the demo or whatever, and I remember doing that, like chewing the steak and it sticking on the wall.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Came out on the Xbox and was. Got like the demo treatment and all that stuff. Of course, back then everything got the demo treatment. Missed that, Dominic.
Yeah, that was. I missed that too. All right. So that was it for 2004. That was really worth discussing. So now we go back to 40 years. 40 years ago, we got 1984, Spike Chunsoft. Well, then it was called Chunsoft. Was founded, and Spike. Well, it's now Spike Chunsoft, which is known for Danganronpa games and basically games of that ilk, like visual novel games, but more than just reading. Like you actually play some of the game, but it's a good mixture of visual novel and a game put together. And also the what's the other one? The Sonanim files. Yes, that one. But what's the one with the guy with the mask on the front of it? Like the scary looking it's like Tom something. It's like something to do with time.
I'm not sure.
That's the really the one.
I'm gonna see it and then just be like, oh, of course that one.
Let me see, Spike Chunsoft. Really? Oh, Zero something.
Zero Escape. The Nunnery games.
Yeah, Zero Escape, yes.
Gotcha.
They made the Zero Escape games. So, and I didn't look at their history, so I don't know, like, what they were doing before that, like in 1984, but they were making games. Let me see, Chunsoft. It said a video game designer and programmer who had worked with Enix, including the popular Dragon Quest franchise, until Dragon Quest V. The Chun in the company name is from the first kanji, Naka, of the company founder's name. Naka is read as Chun in Japanese. Okay, all right. I don't want to get into all that. what were they doing back in 1984?
They making choose your own adventure books.
So the company's products were considered. I said for the time, the company's products were considered mediocre. During development, darn, that's way late than 1984. They did make some games. They made a game called like something Serial Murder Case for Nintendo, published by Enix. So it was a game company.
They existed as a front until 1995,
and they even worked on Dragon Quest.
Oh.
Like all the Dragon Quest series up until like I guess he said five. Okay, so like there were a game company that worked with these other companies, and that they just weren't the main guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's where they started. And that's it. Well, I want to see what they said, because they worked on even Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team B. It says right here, for a time, the company's products were considered mediocre. But I'm just saying, they said the company's products, but I'm looking right here, they worked on, I mean, what did they do that was just them? Oh, maybe this game. I can't even pronounce it. Because it just says publisher Chunsoft.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess all the publisher Chunsoft games before that time were considered mediocre. But it said that during development of the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, one of the programmers of these two games, one of the programmers for those two games, Koji Malta, and he contributed previously on Earthbound and Shiren the Wanderer 2, I don't know what that is, stated that the company went through bad business performance, as employees from Chunsoft would leave the company progressively due to the issue. To this issue, the game's success not only helped giving more popularity in the Mystery Dungeon franchise, it also helped Chunsoft from avoiding bankruptcy. Oh, so Pokemon Dungeon saved them. They saved them, Daniel.
Good.
I don't know who Spike was. I'm curious what they were. They when they
Spike Dudley them. Used to take really big bumps in the WWE. And he funded them to bring him back to life after he loved the Mystery Dungeon game so much.
But Spike, like their first, they started in, it was founded in 1989, but it looked like they didn't, I think it was called something else, because it looked like they didn't start really making games until the Sega Saturn. Like they did a looping game, Looping the Third Carnivals on Sega Saturn. They did Fire. They worked on Fire Pro Wrestling A for the Game Boy Advance.
I did see that Spike Chunsoft was also the ones that did the latest Fire Pro World, the one that had New Japan and stuff in it.
Oh, okay.
That was a couple years
ago. So, eventually they joined, and now they are what they are now, with killing kids in these games and stuff like that. Oh, all right. Yeah, because that's what Danganronpa, you play as high schoolers and you're trying to survive by killing each other. All right. So that's it for the flashback segment. So we're going to take a quick break when we get back and get to the gaming news.
All right.
And we're back. So let's get to the gaming news. What we got, Dad?
All right, Dominic. First up, it seems like to coincide with the television show dropping, Bethesda is going to be dropping a Fallout 4 next-gen update for the PS5 and Xbox Series consoles this April 25th. It's going to add 60 frames per second, a performance mode, as well as a quality mode. You know, the thing that they do on the consoles now that will increase the resolution. The PC version will also get widescreen and ultra widescreen support, which I didn't understand that. Like, all PC monitors, well, I shouldn't say all, most PC monitors are already widescreen. And I assumed that...
Not mine's, Daniel. No. Got the old fat back right here.
But, like, I it was in their official press release, so I didn't... It wasn't just a typo from, like, one of the websites, but... Like, I get ultra-wide support, but I didn't understand the widescreen support thing. And then they're actually going to be updating the PS4 and Xbox versions with stability improvements, as well as like quest fixes and stuff like that. They said they're also bringing it to the Epic Store, and they're going to make it so it's going to be Steam Deck verified. So that's pretty cool. I mean, obviously they're hoping for like a Witcher 3-esque rebound in sales, you know, based on the television show. But I will say watching the show, I definitely was like, I wouldn't maybe mind revisiting the world of Fallout. I'm glad that they're doing this. Obviously, they're trying to benefit from it. But
did you get to the part where you found your son in the fourth game?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Is that, I was trying to think, because in the show she's looking for her dad, and I know you did that in 3. And then I was like, was I looking for my dad in 4 too?
No, you're looking for your son.
I was the dad looking for my child. That's what it was. Yeah.
Or you could be the mother.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. And some less cool news, Dominic, EA is raising their prices in May for that service. That's their like subscription service that allows you access to the games. For the standard version, it's going from $4.99 to $5.99 a month, or $39.99 a year, up from $29.99 a year. And their pro version, which gets you like day and date titles and stuff like that, it's going to go from $14.99 to $16.99 a month,
$2.
Or $100 up to $120 a year. I was telling you, like, I wonder how many people are subscribed to this service versus just kind of benefiting from it being a part of, Game Pass. Everything's going up in price, Dominic, but it's not a good excuse, especially since everybody has like less money than normal.
for EA is just that it's not enough there for me personally.
It's thin.
For me to even want them. Like if I was going to pick one between them and Ubisoft, I'll pick Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Probably. It's because there are quite a few games that I haven't played even, that are even newer. And then I know I definitely, but Ubisoft, they at least I can, I know they got the GeForce Now.
Yeah.
They're with, I don't know if all of EA is with GeForce Now or if any, I don't think all of them are.
Yeah.
It's just that, yeah, EA is just not enough there. Like this was some years ago. This was a thing I would, because I'd be playing the sports games. And I was like, I get sports games every year. And I play multiple sports games. It definitely will work out. And then I can play these other games that they have up here.
Can I play the newest version of Live, Dominic?
Yeah, you can. You can play the newest version.
It's from just, 2004. It's just
like 10 years old or something.
Yeah.
It's, true. It's not enough up there for me because I already have the games that I really do like from them, which is the BioWare games. The later games, the only game will be the Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something else they did that. Oh yeah, the Hogwarts. Hogwarts. Yeah, the Hogwarts. I would.
Which you
I
said,
almost feel I like I could just get it, wait for a sale, and just if I really want it, I can wait for a sale, then and get them.
That's the thing. It's for like a whole you service. Look at it, and it's like, oh yeah, $120 a year. That's less than two games.
Yes,
but
but $70 now.
I was gonna say, but I don't know that I'm gonna pay $70 for any of those games. So then we're talking about far more games because if we're talking about $20 and $30, then you know it's the subscription's not worth it.
Yeah, yeah. This is the final word right now because Xbox Game Pass is variety.
Yeah,
and that it has you can play. EA Play, like the basic EA Play, then that's still a good deal for me.
Yeah, which makes you think Hogwarts Legacy's got to be showing up as part of that or part of Game Pass at some point soon, right? Or is it?
I mean,
maybe not because of the PlayStation ties, I guess, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because they did have that exclusive content for PlayStation, right? Like they had some kind of marketing deal or something with them. So.
Oh, I don't remember. I didn't remember them having that. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't. I just didn't know.
I thought they did like have some sort of something with them.
Oh. Because they did. Well, I don't know how long it took, but you know, you eventually got the first one. Star Wars. What was it called? Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah. Yeah, that did eventually show up on there. So, all right, Dominic, in similar news, Rockstar is also raising the pricing on Grand Theft Auto Plus, which is, you know, part of their online service.
I forgot about that. They have that, Daniel.
Yeah. Honestly. So that's going from $5.99 to $7.99 a month.
Okay, I mean...
They're just milking.
I'm just saying, for the people who do pay for this, is like, I wonder how bad if this is really bad. I don't know because I feel like man, you're at this point, you're paying for Grand Theft Auto Plus. Like,
I wonder how many other games you're playing if you're paying for Grand Theft Auto
maybe,
Plus.
Maybe it's not that bad because this is the game you're playing.
Exactly.
Because this is just Grand Theft Auto 5 online, right?
Yeah. And from what I was looking at, you're locked into a console too. Like you're choosing if you're buying it for Xbox or if you're buying it for PlayStation.
That is bullshit.
Yeah.
You
probably locked yourself in anyway. I don't know that, but maybe if you have like friends on different things and they have Rockstar accounts, you would hope that they could have like cross saves across those two things, but yeah. So, price is raising on everything, Dominic. In some more positive news, there was a Triple I showcase. It's an indie initiative this past week, and they showed off a whole bunch of new games as well as kind of bigger surprises from the indie scene, including Slay the Spire 2 that's coming out in early access in 2025.
I know, so that pissed me off, Daniel. I saw early access, I'm thinking like that's this year, and this is 2025. What the hell, man? That's not even the release of the damn game. The full game.
That's a little rough. Another one they had was Pal World Arena Mode. That's coming out sometime this year. So you can take your pals and battle people.
I'm wondering how it's going to work. Is it going to just be like you yourself can be part of the battle too? Like
it looked like it. They had people shooting guns. So tip the scales, Dominic, in your direction.
Did you shoot out in the crowd RPG too? Like, do they have some? At least have like a shield for the people watching in the crowd or something.
We can only hope. If you go and you watch these battles, you can be involved in them as well. Also, there is going to be new Vampire Survivors content, Dominic. This made me think it might be time to go back to playing some Vampire Survivors. They're going to cross over with Contra on May 9th. Contra. Yeah, it's kind of weird. You know, obviously the Konami connection there would be Castlevania.
But they in V-Rising, that's why.
Yeah. What is V-Rising? Is that a Vampire Survivors like?
I think survival vampire game.
Okay.
I believe
I've heard that name and I've seen it with other things, and even watching the footage, I didn't get what it really was.
I can't think of Van Helsing because I see the V in there.
Yeah. And then Vampire Survivors is going to finally be coming to PS5 this summer. And then kind of the big announcement mentioned.
They don't have it, so that's good.
Yeah, no, they don't.
They locked them out.
Dominic.
Yeah.
Microsoft should have paid.
Now everybody has it.
Yep.
Does the iPod has it? I mean, the Apple?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on phones. It's on phones. Shit, man. It's even in Tesla cars. That's kind of crazy that it's in a car before it made it to the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Maybe Microsoft did give them a little bit of money.
Exactly. I guess they did what they did with the Final Fantasy. Like, hey, just keep it off them. Let's keep it off there.
They didn't do it as good a job, though, because Final Fantasy still isn't on the Xbox.
Yeah.
So. All right, and the big one, you mentioned it earlier, but the Rogue Prince of Persia, which is a Prince of Persia roguelike game from the developers of Dead Cells. Now, this is developers that have worked on Dead Cells. What's that? Sorry?
They call it Evil Empire, right?
Yeah, Evil Empire. Rogue. This is a team from the Dead Cells developer that was spun out to work on Dead Cells DLC while the rest of the team went on to work on the new project. So that's why there's two different Dead Cell development teams' names.
Oh, okay.
Because I was very confused. I was like, aren't they working on that Wind thing that's like a multiplayer Diablo-like isometric thing? But that's the main team, and then this team is working on this. This is going into early access, which is surprising for a Ubisoft Prince of Persia game. May 14th, though, so it is coming very soon, especially considering that we already had Prince of Persia The Lost Crown come out at the beginning of the year. Like, it's interesting to see this much kind of like movement within the Prince of Persia franchise, especially because theoretically they still have that remake of Sands of Time floating around
somewhere. Yeah.
So they could potentially
the sequel to that movie, have, right?
Yes, and the sequel to Jake Gyllenhaal coming off of the Roadhouse movie is going to be starring in Disney's Prince of Persia too. So we could potentially see like the release of three Prince of Persia games this year if that remake could make it this year. I don't know that they would do it at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if they did it. I just don't know if they'll be able to make it out by the end of the year, considering the state that it was in. And then it sounded like they basically like started over completely But there has been some rumor talk around that game as of late, so maybe. But this kind of goes into the next story, that there's going to be a Ubisoft Forward on June 10th, which is a couple of days after Jeff Keighley's Summer Games Fest, which is Friday, June 7th. So that stuff is all coming up very quick, Dominic. I don't know if you wanted to talk about the Prince of Persia game before we kind of got into that conversation, but I'll give you a chance.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about the Summer Game Fest. I mean, Ubisoft Forward.
Ubisoft, obviously, like, there's quite a few things that they could announce, including, like, a new Assassin's Creed, even though I think we technically know about the Assassin's Creeds that are coming, but they're all, like, code names, like Red and Green and whatever.
Yeah, well, it's the one that's supposed to be based off a black guy in Japan. Isn't there like a black samurai one?
Is it a black samurai? I don't know if I realized that, if that's the case. I knew like there was like there's like a samurai one. And then there was like a China one, but one of them was a phone game.
Supposed to be based off something true, that there was a black guy who went to Japan or something of a true character. That's why I read somebody's tweet.
I think I missed that detail
pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was real because I thought it was just Black Samurai and Samuel Jackson. I thought that was just, I didn't think that was based off a true story or anything. Beyond Good and Evil 2, that could be announced.
It's always there. Yep. That other one, I can't even remember the name of it now. The Michelle Ancel game. That one.
One is that?
I can't remember. It was like a deer that they showed off. So Ubisoft.
Oh yeah, with the deer and the family.
Unreleased. Like yeah.
Like the family of deer. Was it a family of deers?
I'm trying to see if I can pull it up here. Wild. That's what it was called. Wild. That one.
Damn, I forgot about. Yeah, that's right.
Let's see. What year did they announce that? Was that gameplay trailer in 2014?
Oh, man. That the Minnesota Wild came up.
It's been 10 years since that game was announced. I don't know that game's coming out. Since he's not in the business.
Oh, wow. Anymore. Yes.
A Just Dance game. I would not be surprised by that.
Apparently, that's not Ubisoft.
Oh, Wild wasn't?
No, it says publisher Sony.
Okay.
And developer Wild Sheep Studio.
That must have been like his own thing, I guess. Man, I thought that was a Ubisoft thing. Weird.
No, they said, no, keep your ass away from us.
Go work on your llama farm or whatever. I guess that's the kind of stuff we would see from them. Summer Games
it's
Fest.
Gonna be some more... either DLC for Mario,
the Rabbids game,
or I'm wondering if there's going to be some type of Watch Dogs thing.
I wonder if we were far enough out that they would talk about another Watch Dogs.
Or are they done with that franchise? I don't know.
Yeah, because it feels like that last one just got no traction whatsoever, even as kind of cool and open as it looked.
They announced
like
a Watch Dogs TV show.
That would surprise me maybe less than a new Watch Dogs, to be honest with you. Still no Splinter Cell. That's the guarantee right there.
Some Avatar DLC or something.
And then, I just wonder.
Just Dance. I wanted to or something that's just new. Something new. It's not a Fortnite game or nothing.
Jeff Keighley's stuff coming up and obviously like the E3 replacement-esque. Do you think, and of course I gotta go this direction, do you think we get a Nintendo Direct style thing around that time? And if so, do we finally is the word Switch 2 finally uttered or whatever they're gonna call it? Like do we
I don't know. Cause what's the rumor that there's no Switch 2 this year, right?
Right. So is it too early to say anything about it then?
Then I think it's too early.
Potentially cannibalize.
I think they'll say it to switch to probably closer to September and October.
Yeah. Even then, it feels like
if it's going to come out next year, if it comes out next year, I feel like they'll. Because when did they announce the Switch?
Was it like after the new year? It's meant trailer.
Of course, we saw the game. The game was still basically on the Wii.
Yeah.
Zelda. Wii U. I mean, Wii U. It's,
let's see. 7 years ago. October 20th of 2016 is when the Switch reveal trailer.
I don't know. Maybe around that time.
Yeah.
I want them to, but I just have a feeling, man. Maybe they might be talking about some of the new games that are coming out later this year, still for the Switch.
That's what I wonder if they have any, because if they have any that are coming out later this year, you would think they would be kind of afraid to cannibalize like holiday sales by announcing it even as early as October. But at the same time, if they don't have any games to announce, and I feel like maybe that's kind of where they were with the Wii U, outside of obviously Zelda, but that ended up launching alongside the Switch. You know, I wonder how that would work out. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, I don't, as much as I would love there to be, I don't know that I feel like there's going to be anything Switch 2 related that early. I'm just hoping really that Xbox comes out with some heavy hitters. Like, you know, obviously the rumors are Gears. Actually, I don't know. I don't think we've talked about that, because I think that was part of what I had for last week, but we didn't end up doing last week because that was basically all we had.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it.
Yeah, the rumor is basically that, you know, Microsoft is going to have Gears, what would be 6 at this point, for their showcase this summer. That's awesome. I'm excited for the next Gears game, even though I got to go back and play the last Gears game actually. But there's so many things that Microsoft already has announced at this point. It feels like we need to start seeing some of those games before we see them announce a new game and release it.
I'll put it like this. If they do announce a Gears game, those other games are coming out very soon, and they have the exact release dates. They better have exact release dates.
I don't know, that's, man. Perfect Dark still feels very far away.
Or the Gears game is a surprise, and like it's coming out very soon. That's what I
mean. I would expect, honestly, if they're going to announce it, I would expect it to be by the end of the year.
It's just too much. Yeah, it's too much time, man. I want to see some games. I mean, Senua Saga, when does that come out? Is that May?
May, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was announced to be a 30 frames per second joint on the console, so.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go again, Dominic.
I mean.
The Redfall treatment.
I don't know. There's enough people get angry over that stuff that I don't need to.
Yeah. Honestly.
Like, I'm not. Look, because I don't know what I'm supposed to. Say, am I supposed to expect games to all be 60 frames per second? Is that my fault, or did they tell us that, and it's a lie? So what is it? Because some people say that they told us this.
I don't think they told us it. I think it was a presume. I think it's one of those things where we as gamers presume the next level of hardware should be able to run a game that looks not that dissimilar to the games that we've been playing on the previous hardware at a higher frame rate. But instead, developers are like, no, we're just going to make it look prettier. And then we go, well, it doesn't feel like it looks that much prettier, so why can't it run at 60 frames per second or 120 frames per second or what have you? I think that's kind of what it is. It's these built-in presumptions and bias that, you know, hey, I'm paying for a stronger thing, it should look and run better instead of just looking better.
And then I see some people who, I mean, I call them, they're kids, most likely. Even if there's adults in it, they're kids, because it doesn't make sense.
Childish, like, they, in mind.
They're saying, if this was on a PlayStation, it'll be at 60 frames per second. I was like, why?
Because I said so, Dominic. That's
what yeah, that's all they say.
This system like, that is what? Basically the equivalent in power would run faster. How dare you?
Like, well, what? So they'll make it look, I don't know. Say what? So I guess they would tell them to make it run at 60 frames.
That's why.
It doesn't look as good, but it runs at 60 frames. Are you saying? What are you saying? It's like, whatever. Yeah, but I for me, that's how I feel about like these systems is that, yeah, why aren't they? But then I think like maybe I'm just wrong for assuming that. I just thought 60 frames per second was going to be. I mean, I ain't gonna say everything was, but it's a lot of them. A lot of games were. I mean, was going to be because I felt like, hey, we saw some games be 60 frames per second on PS2. Like I said, Jak and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank were. Now I guess yeah, I guess if they could have looked the games could look better and run slower, but actually. The type of art style they went with, nah, that's perfect that they were 60 games. I'm glad they were 60 frames per second. I kind of thought that when I finally learned why games look the way they were, because I didn't know about frames. I just know like, hey, this game looks like it's running faster than this game. And then I learned about frames. I was thinking like, yeah, in later generations, games are going to probably all run probably that fast because they can do it. But then I started learning like, yeah, if you put more graphics into it, you put more power, then it's going to be harder to make it go 60 frames. But now, like we've been saying, at this point, a lot of these cameras don't look totally next gen. So it's like, hey, just run 60, it can run 60 frames, right? And I guess it can. And now the question is, was these systems not powerful enough? Or is it more work you have to do? Which is it?
That's a like, good question.
What's the issue? Is it that did I? Because he told me that powerful enough, man. Then I was like, darn, man. So we still stuck on that?
Yeah.
Look, I get it. And he could say, well, the PC could do this. Well, we already know the PC's powerful. We already know that.
And I'm you're going to pay this. More for a PC, obviously.
Yeah. I'm talking about this. And look, really, it hurts you too. Because how much work they're going to put in the PC one? I mean, because these guys. They're going to go work on what they're going to get the most money from. And a lot of these games make more money from the consoles. So that means your system's not going to probably look as good for the graphics card you got.
Yeah.
Even though it can look so much better. But yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't know. That's what I really want to know. Is that if it's something that it can be done, but it just... The work would take too much... I mean, it's not. It would just take too long for them, so they don't have the budget.
The company won't pay for it. Yeah.
Yeah, or it just can't be done.
It's just physically unable to do it.
And that's why I wish. I hope Microsoft announces something about like the cloud gaming coming better.
Yeah.
And or something. And I know there's supposed to be there was a rumor about the whole. I think I sent you something, or you sent me. I forget. About like the computer game streaming now, like PC. I saw PC game streaming possibly. Maybe that was just, I saw a rumor of that somewhere. And that's what I was hoping. Like, man, yeah, make it so that the games are played on the best actual system, like whatever PC you got, the
highest tier,
whatever
thing.
But buy NVIDIA GeForce. That's like I don't care to buy them, but just make it so that it runs as good as theirs or something, or make a true partnership where I don't have to pay another service. Like I don't have to pay Game Pass and
the technology that they were announced at that one E3. That's like middleware. Get that?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's like yo. Get something so I can get these. Yeah, play these games.
Spin up some of those Azure servers.
Yep. And I can, and you got me. You got more games I can play on these servers. It's not just Game Pass games; just games you can buy and you have it. Have a family plan, which I'm thinking they probably saying, nah, man, not this economy, we can't afford a family plan.
I was going to say, we tested it, but we didn't like it. It didn't give us enough money, so we don't want to look like Nintendo, where they've got like seven people signed up for one account.
Oh, they did? do something where you can't, to make it harder you to stack Game Pass. Because they said they make it so they're not allowing you to get them for other countries, I saw somewhere. So you can't get like, I get a Brazilian one. Oh, look, are these guys biting each other or something? What were they doing? I watch these otters playing, but I don't know if they're, maybe it's just some rough playing. I don't know. I've seen some teeth. But anyway, I read some, but sort of make it harder to to stack the months together. So you can't go buy from like other countries and put it in your account, and because it'd be cheaper. And sometimes
weak, weak dollar economies, Dominic.
Yeah, those other countries, and I understand that. Absolutely. That's not. I can't say that's really wrong. It's not wrong. Like that. It's not wrong. EA raising the prices though, and that was kind of mixed with that story with EA raising their prices. Xbox, and PlayStation. I want PlayStation to, I think they're doing a pretty good job of getting games now for their whole online service.
The African Metroidvania style game that's going to be day one on their service.
Yeah, so that's good that they got that. Just the pricing is just, it's just kind of hard. If you just have PlayStation, I think it's probably a good deal. But if you have we have Game Pass and stuff, it's kind of hard to justify paying for another service.
Yeah, because then you start to see this game just left Game Pass. Oh, now it's on the PlayStation thing. So it's I'm just recycling the same games basically.
Yeah. And then, like I said, the only thing with the PlayStation one is you can't play all their games through the PC app that they have. They only can play the PlayStation app, which I think they need to fix something with that. Though you can play a lot of the cloud stuff through the PC app, though. I think all of it. It's just the PS5 stuff, which it should. You should.
Yeah, that's what they need to get towards to compete with Microsoft.
Absolutely. Yeah, they should get it at where, and with the down with the games being on, they are on PC. Some of those games are on PC so that they have it where you can, I got the service. I don't need to buy the game on PC. I can just have it.
Get them as part of your library, but play them locally. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, Dominic, we shall see some of the big announcements during this Summer Games Fest, I'm sure. Hopefully we won't come out of that disappointed, but seems like that's going to be happening sooner rather than later, because that feels like it's right around the corner now. So
at the middle of April.
Yep. So that is what I had for news, Dominic. Was there anything else before we get to new releases?
No, I'm good.
All right. There weren't too many new releases over these past couple of weeks. We got Freedom Planet 2, which is now out on the Nintendo Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X.
Just on PC for that long?
Yeah, because I just looked up to see when that came out on PC, and that was September 13th, 2022. So it's been, almost 2 years, basically. Well, 1.5 years. That's surprising. I'm surprised that didn't at least come to a Switch quicker than that.
So that's what I was thinking. Yeah, they really rate it.
Yeah. We also have Botany Manor. That's now out on PC, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X.
How are people liking that?
Game Pass. I haven't seen reviews, but it looks kind of interesting. It reminds me a Gone Home, but maybe with a little more puzzle solving stuff.
So what should we call it? What's the game? The guy who I don't like, he made that game.
The Witness.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's that kind of puzzly-ness to it. But maybe. That game is focused on the puzzles. This feels a little more We're gonna kind of like explore the world, but also
I thought it was about worm plants and stuff, man.
It is. No, it is.
Oh,
but it's gonna be about like, oh, I gotta mix these kind of things together to help grow this plant and stuff like that. Game Informer has it as an 8.75, so I'd say that's worth checking out with Game Pass, you know. And then we have Gigantic the Rampage Edition, Dominic, after 6 years.
Gigantic
is finally returned. It got shut down in 2018.
Was this a MOBA game?
Yeah, it's a MOBA game, and it used to be free to play. Now they're switching to a buy to play model. So now you buy in and you play that game. I don't know how that's going to turn out.
Okay.
Yeah, it's completely shut down in 2018, but they're bringing it back, I guess, Dominic. So we'll see. We'll see if that goes anywhere.
Take that, League of Legends.
Right. Yeah. So those are the new releases for these past 2 weeks, Dominic. You have anything else for the people before we get out of here?
Nah. I think I'm good, man.
All right. Thank you guys as always for listening. You can check us out on Twitter. Dominic is at DStalworth5. I'm at Regulus MB. The podcast is at SuperPod, SUPAPOD. SuperPod.com is the website. You can check us out there, as all of our previous podcasts, as well as links to all the places you can find us, including YouTube, where there's a video version of this podcast. And then, of course, audio versions can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube Music, Spotify, at any place you find an audio podcast, we pretty much appear there. And until next time, guys, we'll talk to you later.
All right, see you.